extra, throw it in there. Amen. Appreciate your prayers this morning as we go through the lesson. Remember hearing a brother say a few years ago, or it's probably been about 15 years ago now, and he said, if you can't shine today, he said, I don't know how you can ever shine. I mean, it's dark. It's dark out. You know, not a whole lot of light in this world. Even you come to church, you know, most of the news you get is what? Bad. You don't hear a whole lot of people, a whole lot of light going on. Nobody's, seems to be that excited about what's happening. How much better would it be, would it not, boy, come in and hear some battles won? Amen. Come into church and say, "Poor, praise God!" You know, I said, I like it whenever somebody, every time somebody says, you know, and as this brother said, I got an opportunity to talk to people about the Lord this week. Don't take that for granted. God has got to supply those opportunities. He's got to open those doors. We can't do that. And part of our problem is. I still think this is a lot of my problem. I don't know if y'all have this problem. Is lack of spiritual understanding, discernment. We use that word, discern, being able to discern things. And we need to be able to discern people, what their needs really are. Sometimes we may think that, if we can just get them in church. Well, you can get them in church. You might get them churchy, but it ain't going to make them right with God. How many people we got sitting in churches right now? Maybe even in this church, we're still not right with God, not where God wants us to be. You know, so getting them in the church ain't going to happen. It's not going to be the answer. We need people to come to God, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we got to have that desire in ourselves first. And the lack of discernment has everything to do with our lack of communion with God. And I ask myself all the time, I say, God, what's wrong with me? You know, and sometimes he'll point some things out. And the other times he said, you ain't ready to listen, so I ain't telling you. I ain't talking with you right now. You know, We may mention last week about, you know, how that when they went out to fight those battles, they couldn't drive out their enemies. And they weren't ready to listen either. God had to take those enemies and beat them down to get them ready to listen. And it happened over and over and over and over again. Brother Rick asked for wisdom for those doctors. Now, I know he's talking about worldly wisdom, having to do with physical things. They need to be able, but even that, creation is found in who? The Creator. So any wisdom that they get will have to come from God. And the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. I was talking with Brother Stephen this morning, Stephen Burrell, and we was talking about, you know, knowledge does not always equal truth. The Bible said, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can know a lot of facts and still not know what the truth is. That's the reason why discernment is so imperative to this Christian warfare. We got to see things as they really are. 1984, God took me to the place and showed me what I was. A sinner, condemned, unclean. I got some spiritual discernment that day. I saw things as things really was. How many of you, before you got saved, would oftentimes blame God for stuff? Don't lie. Think about it. God made me this way. Or God, if you were a good God, you wouldn't let this happen, you know. Why would you let our country be in the shape it's in? You're a good God. You're in charge. You're in control. Well, God turned creation over to who? We were to be stewards of God's creation. I mean, that was the goodness of God. He could have made a bunch of robots to. Could have kept this earth perfectly clean and perfectly running in a perfect order. But he did. He made spiritual beings with opportunity to choose. Made us in his image. You know, if we couldn't have chose wrong, we certainly can't choose right. And so we have a tendency then, because we choose to do so many things, we want to blame God. Now, there's things I don't understand. When I look at the life of King Saul, I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand what God was doing there. God picked him out. I've heard a lot of preachers say, well, people picked him out. No, you look. God chose him. You read the scripture. I can't find no place in there where it said that men picked him out. God told Samuel to go down there and anoint him to be king. He had chose him. And he said in his own eyes, he was, I can't do this. What he hid. I don't want to be king. It's kind of, and God gave him a new heart, right? So he gave him a heart from being to at the point where I can't do this to a point that I can do it. Amen. Some zeal, backbone. I don't know what you call it. But he put something in him that now he said, I can't do the job. Before he said, I can't do it. But now God gave him a new heart. Where he had the encouragement that I can do it. And him that did not want to be king, now all of a sudden ready to do anything to keep being king. Now, I can't explain that. I don't understand all that. He was willing to kill his own son. You know, we've seen that, remember? Called Jonathan, went up there and spoke for David. He said, David's your servant. He's on your side. And buddy, he got mad and tried to kill his own son. Why? Because he wanted to be king. Before, I don't want to be king. I can't explain that. If y'all can explain that to me afterwards, I'd love to take notes. Because I've tried to say, you come and you show it to me in the Word of God, I'd love to see it. Because I've looked at that oftentimes. I cannot explain. There's a lot of things I can't explain. I can't explain why I'm saved and another man's lost. I really can't explain that. Because salvation is of the Lord. I can't explain it. I'm glad I'm saved. I know what it took for me to get saved. It took Christ Jesus dying on a cross for my sins. And it took him coming alongside of me and showing me what I was, and putting the desire to have him Now, he did that. Would y'all agree with that? Was any of y'all looking for God before he come after you? Did y'all feel like everything? Yeah, you're doing. We're doing okay. I'm happy where I'm at. I tell people that all the time. Hey, man, good looking wife, pretty good job, you know, partying, having a big time, you know. I had some ups and downs, you know. But there was more ups than there was downs. God was gracious to me. But God came to where I was in what I considered one of the best times of my life, where everything just seemed to be just going wonderful, making good money. God had a house, had a wife, had a couple children, went to church. Everything was just great. Had a lot of friends. And broke me down in my living room and saw I was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, I took discernment. I didn't know that. I was blind. I thought I was, you know, everything was great. God said, it ain't great. You're in a mess. That's kind of the way this nation is. Oh, I remember Mrs. Obama saying, for the first time, I'm really proud of this country. What was she so proud of? Fact, because they had voted for a black man, that made her happy. That made her proud. Are we proud because of our candidate today? I don't know. And then you say, why are you saying all this? Because I just don't think that a lot of times we don't see things as they really are, and we need God's wisdom to show us. We need God to speak to us. I think we're in bad shape. I don't think the church is any closer to revival than they were when I got saved in 1984. They talk about how bad things it is, but how many people are broken on the altars? How much tears is being shed over the situation of our nation? I hear people talking about problems with, and me and my wife were discussing this last night. I said, sometimes, and I can't complain. I'm thankful to God. My children are in church, you know. They serve God, and they're not out here getting drunk, and you know what I mean? They're still faithful to one another, as far as I know, you know. And I'm thankful to God for that, but there's other things about them. They seem like they're crazy as bedbugs at times. She said, are we like that? I said, probably. We just can't see it. We don't see how we really are sometimes. This Bible right here, though, can show us. And we need to get away from worrying about what everybody else says and get back to this saying, God, I want to find out the way things really are. Amen. I want you to take this book and shine it down in me and show me what I really am, what I'm really like, and do I really care? My preacher brought that thought to our minds a little bit ago in prayer. We really need to examine ourselves. Why are we here this morning? What's our desire? Well, I know one thing. Without the Lord, we can do nothing, whether good or evil. We looked the first week at this setting a battle in array, and the thing that if we're going to go to battle, first thing we got to get purpose in our heart is, I see the reason to fight, and I'm ready and willing. I'm ready and willing. Do you think this nation is worth saving? Do you think our families are worth saving? David said, is there not a cause? We looked at that. And we need to count the cost. What is the cost if we do not fight? If we do not fight for our churches, if we do not fight for our families, if we do not fight for our nation, what is going to be the cost? We already see. I mean, look, I said this, and I'm not ashamed to say this. As much as I'm against homosexuality, I will fight to protect them because they have a right to hear the truth. And they need to see what love really is. And if we as a church can't show them, I don't know who's going to. I remember years ago going to Mississippi, and this really sticks out. I never forgot it. With Brother Rick. Brother Rick volunteered to go into the AIDS unit. I never forgot about that. I said, that spoke to me of something about this man's character. He didn't count himself. He didn't count his own safety as important as reaching their souls. I appreciate that. Never forgot that. And as much as I'm against it, I am. It bothers me to be around it. And I've had to be around it from time, working with some people. And it bothered me. I remember a guy come in, buddy, and he was a proud flamer. You know what I mean? And he came in, and he had a little T-shirt on. And God, I mean, it revolted me. But I never did anything other than try to show him kindness because they knew where I stood. That's one thing I tried to do on every job where I went. I tried to let them know. I guarantee you, I said, I'm not a good man. I am not a good Christian. I have been saved by the grace of God. And I'm ready to tell you that Jesus Christ is everything. And I'm nothing without Him. And I tried to show, and I worked with, there were several of them, some lesbians and some, you know, some queer men. I don't know what else to call them. Sexual perverts. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. I mean, it's not homosexuality. It ain't no such thing, animal. If it was, they could have children. They can't. But I tried to be kind to them and treat them just like I would anybody else. As much as possible. As much as possible. But it wasn't going to come a time when we got to the great white throne judgment and said, well, how could I get saved when this guy's supposed to be a Christian and he treated me like I'm, he didn't show me nothing of the grace of God. I didn't want that to happen. I don't know about what you want, but I don't want to be one of these guys. Hey, do you pray for them? Yeah, I pray God kill every last one of them. I know people like that. I've heard it down through the years. And I've said some stupid things like that, too. I said, yeah, they want the army live. I think we ought to take them in. We can drop AIDS bombs over on top of the enemy. Come on. I got to show you. I mean, that's the way I feel about it, but I know that's not right. God has spoke to my heart enough to show that me that if Jesus Christ, if I can see the if anybody had a right to not to look at people as though they were vile, wicked, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You're anti-God. You're anti-everything. If anybody had that right, it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ, but He didn't. And I'm going to tell you something. Being a homosexual is bad, but it ain't no worse than being disrespectful to your mom and daddy. So get that, you put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm just letting you know where Dave Leslie stands. If you don't like it, well, I am what I am. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 141. I say 141, I meant 144. 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. I want you to look at that first word, blessed be the Lord. Blessed, you know. I want God to be happy. I want God to be happy with me. That's what this writer is writing. Blessed be the Lord. I want God to be happy with me. I want to please Him. I want to be the kind of person that makes God happy. And he said, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now God has put us in a war, in a spiritual battle. And if we're going to make Him happy, hey, we're going to have to learn to fight. God is not, He ain't interested in those slackers, amen? He wants people that are willing to get into the battle. And this is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a battle that's fought more with love than it is hate. Don't get me wrong. There's some things we ought to hate. But it's a war that's going to have to be fought more with love than it is with hate. And he said right here, he wanted God to be happy. And if we're going to make him happy, we're going to have to learn how to fight. You want him to be happy with you, you're going to have to learn how to fight. We're going to have to learn how to fight. It's a battle. We've been put in a battle. We're soldiers of the Lord. The Bible said, endure hardness as good soldiers. We are in the Lord's army, and there ain't no getting out of it. When you got saved, you got drafted. You got called. Lord, save me. Hey, I got my draft notice, amen? And God called me up and put me in the battle. And buddy, there ain't no getting out of it until it's over. You in here? You said, but I'm getting old. I'm nearly 80 years old. Don't make no difference. You in it to the end? He said, you're looking at somebody whose mind ain't no good no more. But guess what? Just calling my mind ain't that good anymore. Don't make no difference. I'm still in it, and there ain't no getting out. I'm in it for the duration. And if we're going to please God and make Him happy, he said, what does he say right here? He said, who teacheth my fingers to fight. I got a few things here I'd like for us to look at and then solve. First off is learning to fight. To learn it, that's what I get more out of this Psalms right here, is the fact that God wants to teach us how to fight in His spiritual warfare. How to set the battle in array. And one of the first things he brings out is, if you're going to fight in this fight, is that God is your strength. This is not the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And it's the only way. The weapons that God has given us, you cannot wield them. Because you don't know how to use them. The Holy Spirit has to use them. And guess, you are His to use. He's not ours to use. And for years, I felt like that's what people were trying to teach me. Is, you know, I get, the Holy Spirit of God so I can use Him to do what God wants me to do. It don't work that way. I get the Holy Spirit so that Jesus Christ can use me to do what He wants to do. See, it's not your choice where you serve at. It's not my choice where I serve at. Hey, man, hey, your place might be KP. You know, that might be your place. Your place might be guard duty. Huh? I don't know what your place is, but God does. And we need to realize that we are His to use, and He is our strength to go into this spiritual warfare. We got to understand that we can do nothing of ourselves. It's all Him. He is our strength. And notice this. He teaches us that He is our strength. My goodness, notice this. My goodness. You have no goodness of your own. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower. Hey, you need a fortress to hide in. Run to God. Don't run to the preacher. It's okay to get people to pray for you, and you ought to. You ought to. We ought to pray one for another. And we ought to be, hey, would to God. I'd like to have some friends that I can trust with my deepest problems to pray for me. But I'll be honest, I don't even, as much as I love you guys, I don't even know most of y'all well enough to trust you with my worst problems. But I want to. Maybe one of these days. Maybe God. I got a couple people, but they're very few. I don't even trust my wife with everything. How many of you men trust your wife with everything? You might hurt her feelings. She knew everything. Things you fight in here. My wife told me before, don't tell me everything. So I'm a weaker vessel. Some of these things you gotta bear up on your own. Don't tell me everything. I said, sorry, honey, I'll keep more of this stuff to myself. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. So first thing I'd like to see in that psalm is God's our strength. Now, the second thing I'd like you to see, His power. I mean, I missed the first one. Look in verse 4. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that is above the heavens. I went too far. Verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are the shadow that passeth away. Then look down here again. God says it again. Whose mouth speaketh vanities, their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Then look at verse 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of the strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be plants that have grown up in our youth. Can you believe that? Got to cut my phone off. Honey, I'm teaching Sunday school. I'll call you back. Bye. That's twice that's happened to me now. Notice this. Three times the Lord speaks of the vanity of man. What is man? He's empty. He's vain. He can't change nothing. He's nothing. He's nothing but a bag of air. That's all he is. So we need to understand that God is our strength because man is empty. Man is unable to do anything. We can't change nothing. Hey, we can't make. Hey, most of y'all like me, your hair's changed color. It's gone white. You can't change it back. You can go get some dye, but that don't change it either. That stuff wears out, and then your hair is the same color it used to be. You can't change your stature. You can't change your heart. You can't change your mind. You got stuff in there, you wish you could get it out, but you can't. It's there. Man is vanity. And we need to understand that in this warfare, that help of man is of no help. See, if you come to me for help, all I can do is pray to God that He help you. Now, we can knit ourselves together and say we're going to pray for one another, but I don't care how many of our hands, the Bible said, though hand join hand. Hey, it's all vanity against God. Whatever God's doing, He's going to do. That's the reason why we need to realize that and submit ourselves to Him, because we don't know where He's going to take us. And He's going to get the glory one way or another. I just mentioned some men that's dying. And there ain't nothing we can do to stop it if that's God's plan for them. Not nothing. It might be one of us next. And if it be God's will, guess what? The Bible says, thank God. I've heard people say, thank God in the trouble. No, you thank God for the trouble. For this is God's will concerning you. And you know what? Then all of a sudden, the trouble ain't the trouble you thought it was. It's God's will for your life. And I would rather get cancer and go to the grave praising God for Him being my Savior, you know what I mean? And be able to be a light through the trouble I'm going through than I would to fight Him, be able to fight it off, and live like a devil for 20, 30 more years. Don't want to be like Hezekiah, get 15 more years. Huh? What did it cost? Man is vanity. His power is great. Look at verse 5. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightnings and scatter them. Shoot out things. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. God's enemies. Do you know how many volts is in a lightning strike? Nobody does. They're joules, and they're thousands and hundreds of thousands of joules. The voltage is unmeasurable. And that's just His little power. That's just a light power. The entire universe is held together by His will. All He has to do is untie it and the whole thing comes apart. His power is so infinite. Years ago, an old boy said to me, he said, well, you know, I'm thinking now the universe is a lot bigger than I first thought it was. I said, well, how big did you think it was? What, you go out there so far and it ends? I said, the universe is all that there is, and God is infinite. There's no end to Him. Where are you going to go where He's not? David said. There is no end. It's infinite. And God is infinite. His power is beyond measure. And we got these little problems. These little problems. And we wonder if God is able to handle them. God, well, where's God in this? We might say. Maybe we're to listen. See, we need discernment. We need to understand what God is doing, and that only comes with a close relationship with Him. You know how I find out what Brother Rick's going to be doing next week? I ask him every time he's in there, don't I? Ask him, where are you going to be going? What are you going to be doing? We need to spend time with God, try to find out what God's doing. What God's doing in us, what God's doing in our family, what God's doing in our children, what God's doing in our nation. The things that we think might be bad might be what we need. I don't know what this country needs other than the Lord. I don't know what we need to suffer to learn to find Him. I don't know what I need to suffer to learn to find Him. But I do know you find Him in suffering. Paul said, I may know Him, the power of His resurrection. And how do you know that? Through the fellowship of His suffering. So you're going to find God, mind, and will through suffering. And everybody's going to go home tonight. I know. Get on. Oh God, I want to suffer. Amen. I want to find out more of Your mind and Your will in suffering. No, we're going to go home and say, oh God, I'm suffering. Help me. Get me out of this. Not Apostle Paul. I'm going to put us on the spot here. Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him. That I may experience the fellowship of His suffering. He's our apostle, is he not? He said, follow me as I follow the Lord. You going to follow Him in that prayer? Think about it. That's all I'm saying to do is think about it. I'm not telling nobody what to do, but think about it. That God is our strength, His power is great. That God makes us to prosper. Look in verses 12, 13, and 14. That our sons may as be plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full according to all manner store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. And that our oxen may be strong to labor. And that there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. In this battle, it is God has got to prosper us. You can work your fingers to the bone, and all you're going to get is bony fingers. In ourselves, in our own work, man is altogether vanity. But in this warfare, if Christ Jesus truly has the preeminence in our lives, and we go out there in this fight looking to Him, trusting Him, seeking Him, He said He would make us to prosper. He would make our way prosperous. Might not be what you... prosperity ain't always what we think it is. Part of Paul's prosperity was found over in that Philippian jail. Huh? With his back beat, huh? Praising God, worshiping God, getting close to God, getting that knowledge, that wisdom of God, getting, hey, that discernment, that understanding of what God wanted. What did God want? I want you in jail in here. I got some people here I want you to talk to. God sends an earthquake and His great power busted every door open and every man was loosed. I've heard people, yeah, he went down there and saved that jailer. I think he saved the whole outfit. I think a whole prison full of people got saved. Hey, Brother Rick, you go to prison. A lot of those men got an open door. Where would they be? Huh? Gone, gone, gone. But not them. What y'all talking about? I want to hear what you got to say. God was speaking in that place. And every man stayed to hear. That flipping jailer come running down here. Tell me, what must I do to be saved? God prospered His way. And His way was through suffering and problems. We can't always know. We got to have discernment. We got to understand what God's doing if we're truly going to be successful in this warfare. And I'm not, again, I'm nobody to tell anybody what they ought to do or not do. I tell you, I don't like suffering not one lick. I don't. But I know it's going to come, whether I want it or not. So I might as well learn to learn by it. I might as well go ahead and learn to let suffering teach me. I need to go ahead and get it in my mind. Suffering's going to come. So Lord, help me to learn. And the more you take that mentality on, you know what? Maybe after a while we can start saying to Paul, Lord, don't just let me be willing to take on my suffering, but let me go with you a little further. Let me feel some of the things that you suffer for.
Your care for the churches. Your care for your people. Your care. Your concern. Maybe that could happen. Maybe I might be willing to go down there and go into an AIDS unit. Maybe I might go over and to a homosexual man and talk to him about Jesus without looking down my nose at him like you're some kind of filth. Hold that book up. You go talk to him with that book up, and you'll look at him different because you know what you'll be seeing? Yourself. I'm glad God don't look at me with a mirror. He looks at me with Jesus. He sees a preacher, but Wednesday night, when he looks at me, he don't see me. He sees his son. And that's where I want to be. I want to go looking for Jesus in people's eyes. Paul said, I see Christ formed in you. Brother Parks, will you pray for us this morning?